John 3, verse 31, please. I promise we're going to finish chapter 3 today. God willing, of course. Depends. Bible clearly separates the entire human race in two categories. Just two. Only two categories. There's no neutral ground for the people to kind of hide. And they can think that, well, I'm going to make up my mind later. There's no such a place like that. By not choosing God, you automatically choose the other side. You understand me? When you don't choose God right that time, you're automatically choosing the other side because there's only two areas. Either you are for God, you are against God. That would be the category, tier number one. So put the tier one, please, for God or versus against God. Tier number two is believers of Jesus Christ, God the Son, versus unbelievers. Tier number three is born-again Christian versus not born again. Let me explain to you this more in detail. Great deal of people in America as well as around the people would consider themselves in the tier one. They just think that, well, I'm for God, I'm not against God, so I must be right. The thing is, depends on what kind of God that is. It can be God of the Bible or gay God, and what kind of God that be? Who knows, right? However, when you move down to the second tier, believers of Jesus Christ and God the Son versus unbeliever, all of a sudden the people who thought they were for God, all of a sudden a lot of them will end up in the other side. Because Bible clearly specified Jesus Christ is the Son of God and God himself. Those who thought, well, we have a Jesus Christ in our belief, so I'm for God. No, you're not. So a lot of people, vast majority of people end up in the other side. Tier number three, born-again Christian versus not born-again Christian. As we studied before, John 3:3, unless you are born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. And some people say, you know, after I explain all this, some people, as they walk out the door, they say this to me, but that's not how I believe. Really? I'm touched by your opinion. Your opinion versus Bible. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That's not a good ratio. Either you're born again, you're not born again. Either you're for God, you're against God. All of this, one side is for God. The other side is you're against God. You cannot choose. I'm somewhere in between. You know, you heard the word, I'm agnostic. Remember what the agnostic means? I explained to you. In Latin word, it means ignorant, ignoramus. You don't want to say, well, I'm ignorant about God's word, so I'm not, maybe God will say, okay. No, there is no such a thing as God will say, okay. If we stick with the literal interpretation of the Bible, you cannot come up with any room to wiggle that Jesus Christ anything but God, God the Son, and he's the Savior of the world. There is no way. There is no way in the world you can go to heaven except through Jesus Christ. The bottom line comes down to the deciding who Jesus is in our mind and in our heart. If he is the Son of God to you, as the Bible mentioned, God himself, the creator of the universe and sustainer of all created things, then you would honor him above all things, including yourself. Am I making sense? He comes in the first priority. But if you don't, you will face the consequences of your own choice through the wrath of God. It's that simple. And you may say, well, that's not fair. Well, like I said before, if you don't like the God's system, you can step out of God's universe, make your own universe. Then you can do your own thing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, let our heart be opened, completely opened, to receive your truth, whether we like it or not. Let us completely understand that and put in our heart, Jesus is above all. Above all creation, above our own lives, above all the other gods so-called, you alone deserve honor and praise. Father, we also pray for the President Obama, for his salvation, and pray for our troops' safety, and as well as law enforcement personnel and firefighters. We're asking you to watch over them as they protect our lives and our freedom. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In my opinion, this is one of the most important lessons you will ever learn. If you don't have Jesus in right priority in your heart, you have somebody else in that place. Do you understand? So pay attention, please. Jesus must be above all, and he is Son of God and God himself. I cannot overemphasize that. Verse 31 of chapter 3, please. He who comes from above all, he who is of the earth is earthly and speak of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. Do you think Apostle John is trying to emphasize that Jesus is above all? He repeated it twice in one sentence. Some Bible scholars think that this portion of the scriptures, six verses, are written by Apostle John, his own comment, his own note, after John the Baptist's comment after verse 30, when he said, he must increase, I must decrease. And somehow they think that John the Baptist's statement stopped there. The reason why they think that is because the original manuscript does not have a punctuation or the quotation mark. It just, in Hebrew words, there's no such a thing as like that. Just go on. So they think that it stops there. However, in my opinion, it really doesn't matter to me because the entire Word of God is inspired. So whether it's spoken by John the Baptist or John the Apostle, it really doesn't matter. What it matters to me is it states that Jesus Christ is above all. One thing we must have to notice here in this verse is he who comes from above. That is, Jesus was not simply called from heaven, nor was he empowered by heaven. He came from heaven. This means this claim that Jesus dispute, I'm sorry, Jews dispute, because they understood that Jesus proclaimed himself as God. He came down from heaven. He was not any man. John the Baptist did not call himself, he came from heaven. Rather, he is called by heaven. He never claimed to be. No earthly messenger of God came from above. Only Jesus Christ came from above, and he proved himself to be true. Since Jesus came from heaven, he represents God the Father. Anyone who rejects Jesus directly rejecting God the Father in heaven. Am I making sense? Hello? Are you guys awake? Okay. Stay with me. Verse 32. And what he has said, has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one received his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. In the court of law, witness must give first-hand testimony, not hearsay, not personal opinion. It must be first-hand testimony. Jesus gives us a true and pure truth from the very throne of God. Every time Jesus speaks to us through the Bible, what he says agrees with what the Father said in the Old Testament. I was talking with a couple. They were living together. And I told them, you cannot do that. It's against the Word of God. And this person says, well, God says okay, pretty much in her term. Really? Where do you find it? Listen to me. God does not contradict his own word. God's word said that fornication is wrong. Which part of wrong you do not understand? Right? Fornication means sex before marriage, whether you are teenager, middle age, or 7 years old. Nowadays, that's a lot of people, elderly people living together because of the financial reason or whatever reason, they are living together, having sex, but they are not married. Still wrong. Just because you're an elderly person, that doesn't mean that God says, yeah, you've done your share, it's okay. You don't find it in the Bible. Have you ever heard, have you ever talked with somebody who says, I believe in God, but I just cannot accept who Jesus is? And they do not accept that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and God himself. Listen, you cannot separate two. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you have to believe in what the Father says through him. Go to John chapter 10, please. Verse 30. It's a simple verse. I and my Father are two, right? One. Equal. One. And if you believe the truth about God, you must believe in Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus is God himself and not a physical manifestation of Michael, the archangel, like a Jehovah's Witness believe, nor the very first of the many sons, including Lucifer, the product of the physical sexual encounter between God the Father, who visited the earth and has a sexual relation with Mary, according to Mormonism. Neither one is correct. Move down to the 34 of chapter 3, please. For he whom God has sent speak the word of God, and for God does not give the Spirit by measure. God, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. God the Father sent Jesus with his word, with his Holy Spirit, with the complete supremacy over everyone and everything, past, present, and future. In other words, to reject Jesus' word is to rebel against highest authority in the universe. Am I making sense to you so far? We cannot study supremacy of Jesus Christ without studying first chapter of Colossians. So keep your finger there and go to Colossians, please. Where's the Colossians? After Philippians. In the Old Testament, right? Kidding. Before 1 Thessalonians, Colossians chapter 1, please. Don't die on me, Becky. I'm too busy for a funeral nowadays. Verse 15, please. Apostle Paul speaking here, he, that is Jesus, according to context, he is the image of the invisible God. We'll stop there. Greek word for the image is icon. We get the English word icon. The Apostle Paul used the word image to make this fact clear. It means exact representation of Jesus, of the Father. The writer of the book of Hebrews affirmed that Jesus Christ is the express image of his person in Hebrews 1:3. And Jesus was able to say, "He that has seen me has seen the Father," in John 14:9. It is only in Jesus Christ that this invisible God is revealed perfectly. Only through him. Since there is no mere man can reveal the Jesus Christ perfectly, guess what? Jesus is God. The word we use to describe God, does it contain everything about God? All the aspects of Jesus Christ, all the aspects of God the Father? We sing a song, Our God is an awesome God. It's a good song, wonderful song. Don't get me wrong. But word awesome does not cover it. All the vocabulary, all the adjectives we can come up with does not describe God. So God, Jesus Christ, revealed his Father's image completely and perfectly. Obviously, Jesus is God. Move down to the other half of the verse 15. The firstborn over all creation. Over all creation. Now, this is where the Jehovah's Witness who come and knock on your door on Saturday morning. This is, Ollie, exactly. They knock on the door and they get so excited, they quickly turn to Colossians 1:15. See, the firstborn of all creation. See, that means Jesus is the Son of God. He's the created thing. However, what they don't understand, even though they try to speak to the people who don't understand the Bible with their fabricated doctrine, they obviously don't understand the Greek word. Prototokos, is the firstborn, is not regarding timeline. Rather, it's a status. It's a placement. What am I talking about? Good example is King Solomon. Is King Solomon the first son, firstborn of King David in timeline? Who is the firstborn? Who's the firstborn of King David? The guy who raped his own sister? Huh? Absalom is the guy who killed him. Oh, guys, let's go there. Keep your finger there. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 13, please. See that guy? Starting with an A. Well, Absalom, you're close. Starting with an A. There's a guy named Amnon. Amnon is the firstborn of King David. Not Absalom. Not Solomon. Yet in the Bible, King Solomon is known as firstborn of David. What does it mean? It's a placement. It's a status. Am I making sense to you? So our idea of firstborn is, of course, it's timeline. English word is a timeline, but the Hebrew word and the Greek word is a status and the placement. Go back to there. So the mere creature, what they say, the Jehovah's Witness saying is the timeline, but in Greek word, they love to quote Greek, but they have no idea what the Greek means. It's a placement and status, and the firstborn of all creation means headship of all creation. Headship of all creation does not mean that he is the firstborn. Go down to verse 16, please, in Colossians chapter 1. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or power. See, the Jehovah's Witness Bible, New World Translation says, by him all other. They insert the word other in verse between 15 through 17. By using word other, they're saying that what Jesus is the head, firstborn in timeline, and the rest of them follow. Actually, Jehovah's Witness is nothing more than a reincarnation of Gnosticism from the first century. Let's go back to the verse 16 and top. For by him all things were created that were in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. And therefore is the same thing as a because. Jesus Christ, the firstborn of the all, because he created all things as a headship, as a head, the leader. It is no wonder the wind and the waves obeyed him, and it is no wonder why the illness and death fled before him. Because he's the master of all. He created all things, including angels, though including the one who fell by their own choice, known as demons. On the side note, no extra charge for you guys. Have you ever thought, have you ever wondered, why those demons, they walk away from God with their own choice, just like we have? We were born with a sin. We walk, and we, remember what I said? We are not sinner because we sin. We are sinner. We sin because we are sinner. Even though those angels had a choice and walked away from God, just like we have, but they cannot have a salvation. Why is that? You know what the difference is? They don't have a physical body. That requires redemption. Am I making sense to you? They don't have a physical body that requires a redemption. We do. Angels don't need that, but we do need that redemption. All things are under God's command, Jesus' command, and nothing escapes from the Lord Jesus' acknowledgement. Without his permission, even the devil cannot do a thing. Anything happen to you, against you, because of demons, it comes with the permission of God. Good example, Job chapter 1 and 2. Go down to the rest of the verse 16. All things were created through him and for him. In verse 16, if you notice the second word, for by him, there's a preposition, by him, by, and then at the end of the verse 16, through him and for him. Apostle Paul is using these three prepositions to explain to the Greek people. Let me explain. For the centuries, Greek philosophers had thought everything needs a primary cause, instrument cause, and final cause. Primary cause is a plan, and the instrument cause is a power, and the final cause is a purpose. So plan, power, and purpose. Apostle Paul is speaking to them in their language, in their level. Jesus Christ is the primary cause because he is the creator. And he's an instrument cause because he had the power to create them. And he created them with a final purpose for his pleasure. Don't think that it's some sort of sadistic pleasure. He wants to spend time with us. That's his pleasure. Move down to verse 17. Hey guys, am I making sense so far? This is so important. If you don't understand this portion, when somebody knock on your door on Saturday morning and they say, well, see, we believe this way, and you say, oh yeah, that sounds right, you'll go for it. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. If you have an NIV, it will say held together. What does it mean? Let me explain. Scientists around the world, believe that the atoms are held together with something. However, they don't know what that is. So they call it atomic glue. Or some, if you go into the internet and you do the research, get on the Google and ask Google what holds the atoms together. And it will say chemical bonds. Literally, it will say chemical bonds. What is a chemical bond? They have no idea. They don't know how these things, two separate atoms, stay together. I'm not talking about DNA, smaller than DNA. They stay together, and they have no idea how these things together. However, humans don't know how these atoms stay together, but we know how to split those things, right? We know how to split that thing, and we learn that when we split the two atoms fast, and there is a tremendous energy we get released and destroy everything in the path, and miles, and tens of years for in the future. It's known as atomic bomb. Atomic bomb. It's like if I'm understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, it's like blowing up a 10 million tons of TNT at once. One atomic bomb is the same thing as 10 million tons of TNT blowing up at the same time. However, now we have a better one. Thermonuclear bomb, also known as hydrogen bomb, it's 20 times more. And I'm going to just comfort you with this thought. I heard this, that we have arsenals around, not just in the United States, around the world. We have a thermonuclear bombs arsenal that is so enough to destroy the Earth for 40 times over. Isn't that a comfort? We are good at destroying things. That's the humans are. See, we don't know how the atoms are held together, but we know how to split them. But we know that who is holding every atom in its place. Again, Bible says he is the one who is holding everything together, consists. Another affirmation is that Jesus Christ is God. Only God exists before all creation, and only God can make a creation hold together. To make a Jesus Christ less than God is the human's flimsy attempt to dethrone him. If somebody bring up any doctrine to you, saying, well, Jesus Christ is not God because I have another book, or I have this book, I have that book. This is the final authority. This contains absolute truth. Any other thing is a lie. Word of God says, let all men be liars, but the Word of God is what? True. Verse 18 of Colossians chapter 1. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. No denomination, no local church can claim that they are the only the body of Jesus Christ, because the body of Jesus Christ is composed with every single born-again believers. And each Christian is the member of his spiritual body, and Jesus Christ is the head of that body. In Greek, the word head is kephale. Kephale, okay? It means the source or origin as well as the leader or ruler. Jesus Christ is the source of the church and his body, and he is the leader of the church. Paul called the beginning, which tells us that Jesus Christ has priority in time, as far as his church is concerned. The word beginning also can be translated originator. Now, let's go back to John chapter 3, verse 36. We finally get to finish John chapter 3. Are you there? He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life. but the wrath of God abides on him. Let me explain this one more time. Let me read it in a different way. He who believes in the Son, that Jesus Christ, God the Son, the sustainer of all lives, and creator of the universe, God himself, has everlasting life, and he does not believe in the Son, Jesus Christ, as God himself, he says, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Is that clear enough for you? Opposite of eternal life is eternal death. Is such a thing as eternal death? Yes, there is such a thing as eternal death. That means you are not dying. You are not exactly passing that moment of death. You're continuously dying. Let me put it in this term, in the human term that we can understand. If a person goes to hell, that person is in torment, about to die because torment is so bad, but that person is not really dying. And just enough to live to continuously go through that torment. Is it worth it? A person does not have to die and go to hell under the wrath of God. What am I talking about? Verdict was already given, but the sentence has been carried out yet. People who choose not to follow God, they already have a verdict, and they are getting it. Why God would not hand out the sentence right away? Because he's long-suffering. His grace, his mercy endures forever. And he wants the sinners to repent. Go back to the verse 18 of chapter 3, please. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Remember what I said? Verdict is already given. The wrath of God abides in this world because there is no substitute of limitation statute of limitation on sin. It abides into the next world because those who reject Jesus cannot offer the perfect sacrifice that is acceptable to God. The wrath of God abides until it is satisfied by receiving perfect payment Jesus made on the cross. Once you are dead, there is no such a place as purgatory. There is no place as a holding place where you can, maybe I can make my way back to heaven. I have one application for you guys. Jesus must be the first priority and have preeminence in our lives. First priority. Folks, listen. Please, pay attention here. That's including over your wealth, over your fame, over your family, and over yourself. God comes first. Amen. Do you understand me? God comes first. Repeat after me, please. God comes first. Before me. Let's say it one more time. God comes first before me. Now, go do likewise. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. You be our first priority every day. From this day forward, pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.